15, where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the title of my sermon this morning is Cussing in Light of the Bible. Cuss words or cussing in light of the Bible. Or also you can title this Cussing versus Cursing. Alright? Now, when I say cussing, what am I referring to? I'm referring to this matter of saying vulgar language, right? Or today what we would say is profanity. Yep. Okay, now turn with me if you would to Leviticus chapter 21. This would be considered socially offensive language. You say, why are you preaching on cussing in light of the Bible? Well, quite frankly, I've never heard a sermon on cussing. Okay? And the fact of the matter is, those who condemn cussing, even within Christian circles, are guilty of it themselves.
Yeah.
Doing it behind closed doors and when no one's listening to them, right? But the fact remains is that the Bible does teach about cussing and it does teach about cursing. We want to know what the difference is between the two. But the Bible widely condemns this matter of cussing. Why is that? Well, look at Leviticus chapter 21 and verse number 4. The Bible reads here, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people, but for his kin that is near unto him, that is, for his mother and for his father and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother. And for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. Verse 4, but he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. So right there you see that profaning and defiling are used interchangeably. So what does it mean to be profane? It means to be defiled. Okay. So what does profanity mean? It means a word that is defiled. It's a word that is vulgar. It's a dirty word. Okay. Often when growing up as a kid, we would say it's a bad word. Right? Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. So something that is profane, something that defiles, or something that is desecrated. And the reality is cuss words fall into that. Mm-hmm. And let me say this. If you're a Christian, you're saved, okay, and you still struggle with this matter of cussing, you need to fix it. Okay. You say, why is that? Because the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And saying the F word or saying the S word doesn't edify anybody.
Amen.
Okay? It's corrupt. Now, you say, well, what determines what is a cuss word? You know, how do you know? Why would you say that the F word is a cuss word? You know, where are you getting that from? Well, the culture, of course. Right. You say, well, why would you get that from the culture? Well, obviously we know that we don't go to the culture to learn what God says.
Amen.
Right? Amen. We don't go to the culture to know that which is godly, that which is wholesome, that which is pure. We don't go to the culture to learn that. We go to the Bible.
Amen.
But, however, we can determine what is ungodly based upon the culture. Okay? Amen. If we want to know what's the most wicked thing to do or say or be, you go to the culture. You can see it. They flesh it out day in and day out. So the culture obviously teaches us that certain words are cuss words. They are words that are profane. They are words that God's people should not be saying out of their mouths.
Amen.
Now, go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 16. See, cuss words in our culture, in spite of where they come from, have been deemed to be, by and large, very vulgar and bad. I mean, when you hear a cuss word, it's just like your senses should go automatically up and say, wow, that was bad.
Yeah.
You know, that's offensive, or that person should be ashamed. In fact, you even feel ashamed when you hear someone cuss. You blush. You're like, man, that person has a dirty mouth, right? Now, first of all, there's two aspects to what we're going to talk about today. On one end, we have Christians who just simply lack discretion, and they just kind of fly off the handle because they have no self-control, and then they cuss. You say, well, what's bad about that? Well, the bad thing about that is the Bible actually tells us, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So the Bible tells us that you shouldn't have a froward mouth, and it shouldn't be perverse. But you say, well, what's wrong with the F word? It's perverse.
Right.
You say, well, you know, I looked in the dictionary, and you look up at the history. Doesn't matter. It's perverse.
Right.
You ask anybody who's a Christian or someone who's not a Christian, someone who didn't grow up in a Christian home, they'll tell you, that's a bad word. That's a dirty word.
Yeah.
Right. Now look at Proverbs 16, verse 23. It says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. You see, if you got saved later on in life, this is an aspect that you will struggle with. I know I did. Okay? Yeah. I'll be the first one to tell you right here. Okay? I'd lift the other leg, but I'd fall. I got saved later on in life, and before I was a Christian, cussing was just a normal part of your vocabulary. Okay? You just use it as verbs, you use it as adjectives, you use it as fillers, you use it all the time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, once you get saved, you need to add learning to your lips.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? And the fact remains is the Bible teaches us that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, right? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city, the Bible says. Yeah. And the fact remains is someone who cusses all the time just goes to show you have no rule over your own spirit.
Amen.
Because typically, cuss words are words that are synonymous with anger. Okay, when you're ticked off and you want to release some steam or you're mad at someone, you release a cuss word where you're just showing that you have no rule over your own spirit.
Right.
Okay, you're not mighty in spirit. You have no self-control. You're lacking temperance. You're lacking these character qualities that helps you to really behave yourself in a godly way. Now, let me just say it's never right to use profane language or expletives in any case. Now look, if you drop like an S-bomb or an F-bomb in front of me, I'm not going to be like a whole area of the noun and say, ooh, you cuss, God, you know? No. And look, most people who have cussed in front of me apologize right away.
Yeah.
You know? And here's the thing. I respect that. Okay? Because obviously they're still growing. Obviously they're still learning and they're trying to live righteously and holy and just. And you know what? We still battle with the flesh every single day.
Amen.
And the flesh, obviously, if you see something that displeases you or makes you mad, you know, if you cuss at the drop of a hat, it's because you're in the flesh.
Yeah, right.
But you know what? A person who says, oh man, I'm so sorry I said that, I'm working on it. Hey, I respect that. Okay? I'm not this holier than thou, I'm just like, oh, I can't believe you just said that in front of me. No, that's a horrible attitude to have. Okay?
Yeah.
Now look, if you're just dropping F-bombs left and right and you don't care less, I'd be like, hey dude, can you like watch your mouth?
Right.
You know? How about, you want a dictionary? Because look, people who use a lot of cuss words are typically people who don't have a broad vocabulary.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't have a broad vocabulary. And here's how you fix that. Aside from the fact that you gotta read the Bible, you have to just read books just in general. Okay, reading helps you extend your vocabulary so you're not using these expletives all the time. But instead, the analysis of recorded conversations revealed that an average of roughly 80 to 90% of words, or 80 to 90 words that a person speaks each day, involve cussing. That's pretty bad. But you know what? Me, as far as myself growing up, I can validate for that. I'm not just talking about in my personal life, but in the lives of others of those who are around me. It's true. Now go to Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to look at some scriptures here in Proverbs in regards to this subject here. Cussing is bad. And there's no way around it. You know, and you say, well, I cussed out a faggot. Okay, okay. No. Amen. Okay, no. Look, there's other ways to attack these homos than to...
Amen.
Look, you can't defile someone using a defiling word. Right? By the way, that doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
Okay? You know what affects them is when we use biblical words.
Amen.
Sodomite, beast,
amen.
Reprobate.
Right.
That bothers them.
Amen.
Okay? Now when you use cuss words to express how much you hate them.
Yes.
Alright, we use biblical words to show how much we hate them. Proverbs 17:20 says, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. So here we see in Proverbs 17:20 that the froward heart and a perverse tongue, they go hand in hand. You say, why is it that someone has a perverse tongue? It's because they have a froward heart.
Yeah.
Okay? And look, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
If you constantly watch movies and worldly things that have cuss words, or you're around people that are cussing all the time, guess what? It's going to get in your heart.
Amen.
And if it's in your heart, eventually it'll make its way out of your mouth. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. So again, it says, well, so what does forward mean? It means perverse. Okay? And look, if you don't think the F word is perverse, then you're perverse.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? Proverbs 6:12 says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. I mean, you look at the teenagers today. The world, not the Christians, I'm talking about teenagers just in the world. You go to the grocery store or to some sort of restaurant, and some teenagers, young people are there, and they're just filthiness is just coming out of their mouth.
Right.
It's wicked. Okay? Now, go to Proverbs chapter number 8. But the Bible tells us, if they're naughty, if they're wicked, they're going to walk with a froward mouth. Okay? And look, you can tell a lot by a person based upon what comes out of their mouth.
Right.
You know, if they come up and they're already criticizing someone, then you already know this person has a critical spirit. Yeah. If they come up and they start dropping F-bombs left and right, you already know that they have a perverse heart. If they come up and they talk about Hollywood and movies and the things of this world right off the bat, it just goes to show you they have the world in their heart.
Yeah. Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. Says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Amen. See, God hates it when people have a perverse and forward mouth. Okay? Why? Because the Bible teaches us that our speech berates us. It berates me, the Bible says. It reveals who we are. And if we're out there, we say we're Christians, we're saved, we're Bible believers and Baptists, but you're cussing all the time, okay? There's a problem with that. God hates that. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Go to Proverbs chapter number 10. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 19, verse number 1, where the Bible says here, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So again, the Bible's telling us that those who have lips who are perverse, the Bible says those people are fools. Okay? Don't be a fool. And in fact, I like what it says, that the better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. I don't think that's a person who's perfect, but that's a person who is determined, says, look, I'm going to work on cussing. And if they drop an S-bomb or an F-bomb, they're going to apologize for it and try to get it right and try to correct it for the future. Okay? That's a person of integrity, right? Whereas the person who says, yeah, I'll never cuss again, and they're just careless, they drop F-bombs and S-bombs and B-bombs all day long, and they don't care. That's a hypocrite, okay? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. You know what's interesting is that the Bible actually teaches us, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Amen.
That's why it's good to just memorize Scripture.
Amen.
Okay? Because when you memorize Scripture, you're putting Scripture in your heart. Basically, you're not making provision for the flesh. Because whatever you're memorizing, whatever you're thinking upon, whatever you're meditating upon, eventually will come out of your mouth. And it's great. When you talk to people and just Scripture just flows out of their mouths, it goes to show what they're thinking about.
Amen.
Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 23. I don't agree with this. You know, I think it's okay to cuss. And, you know, I'm a hardcore Christian. And, you know, I'm crazy like that. And this is just how I am. Well, you know what? Then you're compared to a drunkard.
Right.
Okay? Because anyone who knows any drunkard, what happens? They get loose with their mouth.
Yeah.
They start saying things that they wouldn't typically say if they were sober, right?
Yeah.
And look what the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 33. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. I mean, I remember before I was saved, if we were like partying or something and someone was drunk, okay, they start saying things that they typically would not say.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because they get bold, okay? The alcohol makes them bold, it loosens up their tongue, and they begin speaking perverse things out of their heart. But you know what's bad is when someone's not drunk.
Yeah, right.
And they start uttering perverse things out of their mouth.
Yeah.
That's the bad thing. See, at least this guy, he's doing it because he's drunk. It's like, obviously this guy's a drunkard, so that's why he's uttering perverse things. But the problem is when there's Christians who are not drunk.
Right.
They're sober. Yet they're allowing cuss words to come out of their mouth. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. So when cuss words come out of your mouth, you know what the Bible says? It says that it defiles you. Okay?
Right.
It defiles you before others too. Right? Because they begin to see your speech and your conversation, and they really begin to question your Christianity. Now, that's not right for them to do, obviously. But the fact remains is that God judges the heart. He sees the heart, but man looketh on the outward appearance, right? Matthew 15, verse 19 says, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That defiles you. Okay? I remember I saw a video of a guy, and he Someone played it, basically they played a prank on him is what they did. And it was a fake lotto ticket. How many of you ever see that video?
Yeah.
It was a fake lotto ticket. And it was like for like, I don't know, like $1 million, something crazy. And he like, you know, he scratched it off and it was like, oh man! And he scratched the next one, he's like, oh! And the third one, he's just like, I won! He's going all crazy. And then, you know, his friend's like, calm down. He's like, man, forget you, man. I never even liked you in the first place. And then his girlfriend's like, and they're all in on this. His girlfriend's like, you know, hey, calm down. He goes, nah, I never even liked you either. I'm going to get a new girlfriend or something. He was just like, all these things. And then it's just like, joke's on you. The thing is fake. And he was just like embarrassed. He was ashamed. But you know what? That which comes out of your mouth defiles you. It just brought out the worst in him, right?
Yep.
Now the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, I've never met a well-refined, behaved, polite person who just cusses like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go together, okay? You know, it's typically the ghetto people, right? Because I can't believe you just said ghetto. Well, I grew up in the ghetto, so there, okay? It's typically the people who don't read any books. All they watch is MTV, VH1, HIV, whatever other programs there are. And they're watching perverse people, and they have no education. And what happens? They're just allowing perverse things to come out of their mouth.
That's right.
But you never run into someone who is refined, polite, okay, a functioning member of society, just cussing constantly. And by the way, it doesn't take a Christian to not cuss. Okay, I know people who are in the world who aren't saved who don't cuss. Okay, maybe they do behind closed doors. I don't know, but as far as their normal day-to-day conversation, they don't. They have self-control. Okay, now go to Psalms chapter 12. So obviously we know that Christians ought not to cuss, and there's tons of scripture that we can go to. And then I only read like a couple of scriptures from Proverbs, but the Bible constantly teaches this matter of what should be coming out of our mouth. Okay. So on one side of the spectrum, we have Christians that they have no self-control. What's the answer for them? They need to read the Bible more and put away their ungodly movies.
Yeah, right.
Money, put away their ungodly music.
Man, yeah.
What gets into your heart faster than anything else is music.
Right.
You put cuss words to a melody, yeah, you'll get that cuss word in your mind, you won't be able to get it out.
Yeah, right.
And look, I grew up listening to gangster rap, hip-hop, and the like, okay? And to this day, there's songs I can't forget.
Yeah.
They're stuck in my mind, they're stuck in my soul. And you know, I said, well, what do you do? I sing them every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. I said, what do you do? I just gotta quote scripture and try to put it out of my mind, put godly music. I gotta combat it.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Okay?
Right,
because it's filthy music. Dr. Dre, Eminem, and all these other weirdos from Hollywood and the music industry, they spent millions and millions of dollars to create this music that gets into the souls of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes that's exactly what it is. Well, what can help with that? What if you just put that music away from you?
Amen.
Okay? You can't be like, God, help me to, like, not cuss, and then you pop it in Tekashi 6ix9ine. You're popping in Lil Pump. You're popping in all these ungodly, you're Drake or whatever, these people who cuss all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Amen.
Right.
You need to put it away from you. Get the FWBC, no, the Faithful Word app, right? And listen to the music on there.
Amen.
By the way, sing the hymns.
Amen.
Don't just come to church and just sit there, you know, while everyone else is singing and just waiting for the preaching. You need to be singing.
Amen.
By the way, the Bible, that's a command from God.
Amen.
To sing. Okay? Well, I don't have a good voice. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay? Just sing. You need to get these hymns in your heart because they're good for you. And the Bible teaches us that a spirit-filled Christian will sing hymns.
Amen.
Okay? Look at Psalm chapter 12. So on one side of the spectrum, we have these Christians who cuss all the time. But then we have the other side of the spectrum where we have these holier-than-thou Christians who call biblical words cuss words.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
Amen.
Look at 12. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are what?
Pure
words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So the Bible says here that God's word is pure.
Amen.
Now what is the opposite of pure? Vile.
Yep.
What do they call cuss words? Profanity. What does profanity mean? It means means something that's defiled.
Right.
So today we have Christians who, when other Christians use Bible words, words that are found in the King James Bible,
Amen.
They'll look at that and say, that's profanity. That's a defiled word.
It's true.
You shouldn't say that. Fox News says you shouldn't say that. Sean Hannity says you shouldn't use those words. By the way, Sean Hannity even uses those words. Okay? But the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words. So to use a pure word, which is any word found within the King James Bible, and to call it profanity, that's ungodly.
Amen.
Okay? Now, go with me if you want to Ezekiel chapter 22. Remember, the sermon is cuss words in line of the Bible, or cuss words versus curse words. Okay. By the way, I don't cuss. You know, in spite of what people say on YouTube in the comments, or what people say on Instagram, oh, this guy, this pastor, he cusses. No, I'm not. I'm quoting scripture. I'm using Bible words. Okay? Look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26 says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. So what are these priests guilty of? They're guilty of taking that which is holy and making it profane. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. You know what the priests were guilty of doing? Taking that which is holy, righteous, just, and pure, and saying there's no difference between that and the profane. You know, it's taking a word like damn. You say, oh, you shouldn't say that. That's a dirty word. That's profanity. No, you're taking that which is holy, that which is righteous, that which is biblical, and you're calling it a curse word. You're saying that it's vulgar. It's not vulgar. And by the way, if you think that's vulgar, then you need to read your Bible at least once through.
Amen.
If you think a word like damn is a bad word.
Amen.
Okay? And shame on the person who would use the F word, you know, behind closed doors. But then, when they're in front of people and people say the word damn, they're like, oh, I can't believe you just said that. Aren't you a Christian? Yeah, I am a Christian. That's why I'm quoting the Bible.
Amen.
As a Christian, that's I quote Bible words. That's how it works.
Amen.
But go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We often like to focus on the part that says they call it evil good, right? When I said, yeah, the reprobates can be saved, or you know, let the pedophiles into the church, that's a good thing, right? But look at the second part, it says, and good evil. When they would call something as pure and holy, you can't get any more pure than the Bible.
Amen.
And they would use something like that and say, that's evil. You shouldn't say something like that. Okay? That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now look, we just read in 2 Timothy, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? Immediately after that, it says, but shun what? Profane and vain babbling.
Yeah.
So there's a contrast between the two. Obviously, that which is profane and vain babbling is not that which is found in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So it's making a contrast between God's word and that which is profane and vain babblings. Okay.
Amen.
And look, there's a vast difference between a word such as pisseth, okay, which is in the Bible.
Amen.
A word like damned.
Yeah.
A word like ass, and the vulgar words that are being said within the world.
Amen.
And people, if that bothers anyone, it's because they've been influenced to think the way the world thinks.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. The world's not going to tell us what is good, righteous, and holy, and pure, and just.
Right.
Okay. They can show us what is ungodly, what's profane, and what's ugly, but they're not going to teach us what God says. Okay? Now, what is the cause and effect of each? Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the scriptures. And the Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect and thoroughly furnished.
Amen.
So the Bible teaches us that when you read the Bible, you give the tenets to reading, what does the scriptures do? Well, first of all, it instructs us in righteousness.
Amen.
Right? It's profitable. And the Bible says it'll make us perfect and thoroughly furnished. These are profitable things. Whereas you look at vain and profane babblings, what does it say? That it will increase unto more ungodliness.
That's right.
So to say that a word such as damn, pisseth, or even ass are profane words, then you're saying that the word of God is going to increase me into more ungodliness.
Come on, dude.
You're calling it profane and vain babblings that will increase into more ungodliness. Now, that's wrong.
Right, man.
That's sinful to look at the word of God and say, you're doing that. And some people will say, well, yeah, those words are in the Bible, but it's the way you use them. Right? For example, last week, I called out Caleb Robertson, who's a reprobate heretic.
Amen.
He's damned to hell.
Amen.
No, I don't take it back.
Amen.
People, he gets all mad because I said that he's going to hell and that he's a reprobate and I want nothing to do with this heretic. It's like, I don't take anything of it back.
Amen.
Put as many of the Instagram posts that I put on your videos as you want.
Amen.
I'll reinforce it. I'll say, yes, that was me. He gets all mad because I called him an ass. And he even put a little asterisk. He said, blank. Look what he said to me. He said, blank. But here's the thing. I'm using it in its biblical context.
Amen.
Because an ass is a donkey. You say, what is Caleb Robertson? He's a donkey.
Amen.
You say, or you're just insulting him. Well, first of all, yes, I am insulting him.
Amen.
Right. I'll take that back. I'm insulting him because he's a reprobate heretic who's taking people to hell with him.
Amen.
Okay. But secondly, beasts. And a donkey is a beast.
That's good.
So I'm just using one of the three words to define who he is, an ass.
Yeah.
By the way, I call him a beast and I call him a donkey too. But what happens as soon as I say ass, oh, he cussed, asterisk, put the asterisk up there. Why? It's in the Bible. I even had someone tell me, I remember I was talking to a guy from a Spanish church and we were talking about Bible versions and stuff, and he says, yeah, my Bible has no cuss words in it. I'm like, what? He said, well, good for you, neither does mine. He goes, no. He said, your Bible uses the word ASS. I'm like, Dad? I said, did you read the context of what it's talking about? That's referring to a donkey, I told him. That's not a cuss word.
Alright.
You know? But you know what it is that people are ignorant, they understand neither what they say nor where they affirm.
Amen.
Okay? So, this guy gets all mad because I say that, but you know what? It's fitting for him, and it's fitting for anyone who would teach a damnable heresy.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the reason why people flinch at something like that is because they've been conditioned to think the opposite.
Right. Come on.
Okay? Yeah. They've been conditioned by commentaries, by these holier-than-thou pastors and preachers who believe they're better than everyone else, and they won't even, they'll read the scriptures and they'll pass over some of these words.
Yeah. True.
You know, that's wrong.
Amen.
Give attendance to reading. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. There's nothing defiled about God's word.
Amen.
And remember, I'm making a distinction of the distinction that God is making between cuss words and curse words. Right? Amen. Now, let's see here. Go with me if you went to 2 Samuel, chapter 16. By the way, these people claim to be KJV only.
Yeah.
You know, those who would oppose us, even within independent fundamental Baptist circles, they call us the cussing pastors. You know, these guys cuss all the time. I can't believe you listen to that guy. You know he cusses. But they claim to be KJV only. What they should be calling themselves is FOX people, Fox News people.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Right?
Because they get all their doctrine and all their teachings and how they should speak based upon conservative talk radio.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, these unsaved Catholics who run these things, run by Jews, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. We shouldn't get our definition from these things, okay? Now, look at the Bible. So what does it mean? I'm sorry. So obviously we don't cuss, but the Bible does talk about cursing. And often those lines are blended even within the world's eyes. They use them both interchangeably. Sometimes they'll say, you know, oh, he's cursing right now, right? But there is a distinction between the two, okay? Cussing, if you even look up the definition of cussing, it refers to profanity, something that's vulgar, something that's dirty. A curse word, on the other hand, is a word that curses something. Okay? Does that make sense? I think that's defined within the very sentence if you say that to someone, right?
Yeah.
See? And they find it offensive. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 16 will explain to us what a curse word is. Look at verse number 5. Says, when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of what? Belial. So he's calling David a son of the devil.
Yeah, right.
Now, was he right for doing that? No. Why? Because David was a saved man.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think we should ever call any Christian saved person a son of the devil.
Amen.
Or a child of Belial. Okay? Now, it's definitely fitting to call someone who claims to be a Christian but is not, who teaches a false gospel and false doctrine, and they know it willingly, those people are children of Belial.
Amen.
Don't curse them. So what is a curse word? A curse word is when we place a curse upon them and say, that's a son of Belial.
Yep.
Okay? Go to Exodus chapter 22. I'm sorry, go to Proverbs chapter 11. I'll read to you from Exodus 22. Proverbs chapter 11, I'm going to read to you from Exodus 22, verse 28. It says, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So you see that a curse and revile are used interchangeably as well. So to curse someone means to revile someone.
Yep.
Okay? With hatred, right? Look at Proverbs 11, 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So there we see what's the contrast between a curse, with the curse word, a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? So if you don't bless someone, according to the Bible, you're cursing them, right? That's the opposite of it. Blessing is like, hey, brother, God bless you. Whereas the curse word is like, hey, you're a son of Belial. Okay? Those are two extremes, but that's the contrast of both of them. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. So this is something that's actually done consecutively in the Bible. I mean, you see people cursing people all the time. And in fact, you see God cursing people all the time. If you don't believe that, you need to read the Bible. He does it over, and by the way, the beloved Jews, who are God's chosen people, and the Old Testament, they're probably the ones who were cursed the most by God.
Amen.
Over and over and over again. Why? Because the vast majority of them, by and large, were sons of the devil. Okay? They forsook the covenant of God. They began to serve other gods and bow down their knees to Baal and Belial and all these false gods. Well, guess what? You're a child of the devil at that point.
Yeah, right.
Now, this is what people will pull out when you say something like this, what I just said as far as cursing. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching this, and it's saying, bless them that curse you. Don't curse them back, obviously. And the Bible even teaches us, to not curse our enemies, right? And people pull this out and say, see, there you go. You shouldn't curse people. Because Jesus said it himself. But it says we shouldn't curse our enemies.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. And there is a vast difference between our enemies, an enemy, someone who basically defrauded me, or maybe robbed me, right? Someone who wronged me financially, or whatever it may be, and an enemy of God.
Amen.
Okay? And there's a vast difference between someone who is a son of the devil, and someone who's just a son of wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Children of wrath. There's a difference between being a son of the devil, John chapter 8, and a child of wrath, child of disobedience in Ephesians chapter number 2. Children of disobedience and children of wrath are simply unsaved people who can still get saved.
Right.
Why do we call them children of wrath? Because they have not yet believed, therefore they're still under the wrath of God. Okay? But someone who's a child of the devil is someone who the Bible would call a reprobate.
Yeah.
Okay? They can no longer be saved. The Bible says that they've resisted the truth. They're men of corrupt minds. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They denied the Lord that bought them. Again and again, it tells us who these people are. Okay? Now, you say, well, I don't believe that. Go to Numbers chapter 23. Jesus still says, you know, bless them that curse you and persecute you, so we shouldn't do it. Now, I've had people who are my enemies curse me. Okay, I've had Christians do that. Okay? I've had Christians do that. But there's a vast difference. And look at Numbers 23, verse 8. And here's the thing that people think, that they don't understand. They think that we curse everyone, including our brethren. You know, pre-trib, you know, Zionist-loving people, that we curse them. You know, I don't curse them. I curse their doctrine. Okay? Now look, if you're out there and you're promoting the reprobates to the point of you say they can still repent, and you're teaching a repentance of God, yeah, I'm cursing you.
Amen.
Because if you believe that, then you already turned away from the faith, you've already turned away from that, you're actually damned. You weren't even saved in the first place according to the Bible. Yep. Look what Numbers 23 and verse 8 says. This is a good way to measure this. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Okay? So, what is Balaam saying? He's basically saying, I'm not going to curse someone who God has not cursed. So in contrast to that, what does that mean? We curse people who God has already cursed.
Amen.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So we don't just curse people just flippantly without knowing any facts. And if you do that, then you need to get your facts straight.
Amen.
Don't curse a saved person. But someone who's already cursed of God. Yeah. Someone who's already damned. Mm-hmm. We're cursing them.
Yep.
Oh, you should give Caleb Robinson a second chance. Maybe he's sincere. The guy is damned.
Amen.
Okay. And by the way, the Bible says after the second and third admonition, a heretic, reject.
Right, right.
Okay. You know, and he's over here talking about, why won't you debate me? And he gets offended when I say this, but it's the honest truth. And I'm not saying it to be cliche. It's because I'm not a reprobate.
Amen.
Okay. And there's no use in debating a reprobate. Why is that? Because another characteristic of a reprobate is that they're implacable.
Yep.
Amen.
So when people want to debate, it means they want to argue to show you that you're wrong and that they're right.
Right.
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. I can give Caleb the entire word of God.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's not going to placate him. Why? Because he's a reprobate. Yeah. And the Bible says that a heretic after the second and third admonition rejects. So the Bible says that, look, when Caleb first started talking to us, okay, and he brought up his baptism regeneration garbage, we said, hey, Caleb, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Well, I don't believe that. What about X, Y, and Z? Well, the Bible says, Caleb, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God,
not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I don't believe that. What about X, Y, and Z? Well, okay, Caleb, here's like a verse that for sure should convince you. John 3:16.
Amen.
Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that doesn't say believe only. Where in there does it say believe only? At that point, I'm rejecting you.
Amen.
You're a heretic. And here's the thing. The verse right after that, verse 10, says this. Knowing that such is subverted. You know what subverted means? It basically means they've undermined the word of God. And sinneth and is condemned of himself. So verse number 9 says, avoid foolish questions and endless genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are vain and unprofitable. You say, well, you know, but that doesn't say don't debate. Let me show you what foolish question means. Let me give you an example. Show me in the Bible where, you know, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. That's a stupid question.
Amen.
Okay? So when you hear something as stupid as that requires an IQ of -1, red flag should go up and say, this guy's a heretic. I'm not going to waste my time with this. This is vain. And this is what he'll say. Oh, I mean, didn't Paul debate? You know, Acts 17:17? Isaiah, let us come reason together. There's a vast difference between reasoning with someone and debating. And look, if you look in Acts chapter 17 and verse 17, you look at Acts chapter 18 where the Bible says that he disputed and he reasoned. Every single one of those, he disputed and reasoned that Jesus Christ must have suffered and died and resurrected.
Yep.
So what was he reasoning about? The gospel.
Amen.
Not about doctrine. He was giving them the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? So look, right after service at 1:30, we're going to go reason with a lot of people.
Amen.
And if we knock on a door who believes in baptism regeneration, guess what? We'll give them 3 scriptures. After that, if they choose to reject it, we reject them.
Amen.
And we move on to the next door. Why? Because we're not going to waste our time wanting to debate people and argue with people. It's vain and unprofitable. We just say this, get a sticker, heretic, and move on. Okay? But that guy's cursed.
Amen.
See, how do you know that? When you become so staunch about false doctrine, it gets to a point where like you're not just deceived, you're just cursed. You know, you're not deceived, you're the one who's doing the deceiving.
Right.
You're a devil yourself.
That's right.
Okay? Well, you shouldn't say that. You know what? I don't curse anybody who God has not cursed.
Amen.
How do you know that God cursed them? Based upon the words that are coming out of his mouth, amen, he's validating that he's cursed of God already. Okay? And look, something as simple as John 3:16. If you don't get John 3:16, your conscience is seared with a hot iron. Okay? Now go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. So the Bible says there, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Okay? We're not going to curse people who God has not cursed. We're not God. We simply look at people, and based upon the words that are coming out of their mouth, based upon their beliefs, we can validate this person's cursed, therefore I'm going to curse him.
Amen.
Now look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Lest anyone should say, well, that's in the Old Testament. You know, because that's what they like to say. They're like, well, that's all Old Testament. You're pulling out Old Testament. Well, aside from the fact that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. This is speaking about false teachers, false prophets. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, there goes the word ass and donkey, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Look what it says. Cursed children.
Yep.
There you go. There's the New Testament proof right there. Cursed children. So the Bible's saying that who are the cursed children? The people who are the children of Belial.
Yep.
These false wicked prophets. So Peter's saying, and by the way, Peter was there when Jesus said, bless them that curse you, right? Love your enemies. So was Peter wrong for saying this?
Wow, that's good.
No prophecy of the scriptures is given of any private interpretation.
Amen.
Okay, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And guess what the Holy Ghost moved Peter to say?
Right.
Cursed children.
Amen.
Does it contradict? Absolutely not. Because I'm not going to curse the guy who defrauded me for $100. I can't curse those whom God has not cursed. But if they are teaching a false doctrine, false gospel, leading people to hell, oh, okay, that person's cursed.
Amen.
You know, it's like this. It's like people think, people have this weird, twisted conception that sodomites are sodomites because they committed the act of sodomy. That's not how they become sodomites.
Right.
Sodomites become sodomites because they rejected the gospel.
Amen.
A fruit of that is the fact that they become a sodomite. So when you see a sodomite behaving like a sodomite, you can look at that and say, oh, okay, that person's a reprobate. That means years ago or whenever, however long ago it was, they rejected Christ, and this is the fruit of them rejecting Christ, is that now they've given God has given them a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Well, it's the same thing with the false teachers. We can look at a false teacher and say, okay, this guy is a heretic. He's not coming to the conclusion of what the Bible says. He's subverted. He's undermining the word of God. Oh, he's cursed. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, that's what happened to Caleb. The guy's cursed. No wonder he can't understand the Bible. Well, the show's called What Does the Bible Say? You need to ask yourself that same question, Caleb. Go to Matthew chapter 25. So it says it right there that they're cursed children. By the way, another word for cursed children is someone who's damned.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. And no, that's not a bad word. Now look, do I go every single day just using these words? No. Why? Because there's other things to talk about. Okay? And I don't say these words for shock value. You know what I mean? Just to arouse people's attention. I use them in their context when they are needed to be used. I don't just flippantly say them all the time. Why? Because there's other things to talk about.
Amen.
There's other doctrines. There's other subjects. There's other topics that we can talk about that don't require those words. Now, that doesn't mean that I think that they're bad. It just means there's other things to talk about. Okay? Now, look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them. By the way, who's the king? Tell me who the king is.
Jesus.
This is the one. This is the man who taught, bless them that curse you, right? Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto, excuse me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. So this is before, right? They get cast into the lake of fire. Yep. He's like, you're cursed. So this is Jesus saying that. Well, I don't think it's right for you to curse anyone. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 2 that we ought to walk as Jesus walked. Amen. And guess what? We ought to talk like he talked too. Amen. Okay? And Jesus didn't say, depart from me, you know, those on the left hand, you nasty people of the Lord, you know. No, it doesn't say that. Amen. You cursed!
Amen.
By the way, that's because he hates them. And this whole false doctrine that God loves the people that are even in hell, you're warped and you're twisted for thinking something like that.
Yep.
You know, how would you like it if I burned my son and then say, I'm doing it because I love him? He's being disobedient right now, so I'm just going to burn him. But I do it because I love him. I'm burning him because I love him. That makes no sense whatsoever. Okay? And God is a God of logic, and he's like, no, I'm sending them to everlasting fire because they're cursed children. Jeremiah 48:10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Psalms 119:21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Job 5:3 says, I have seen the foolish taken root, but suddenly I curse his habitation. Nehemiah 13:25 says, and I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. 2 Kings 2:23 says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him. This is speaking of Elisha. And said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, looked on him, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40 and two children of them. Look, the Bible talks about, I mean, this is Elisha.
Amen.
The man of God. And when these little reprobate children came up to him and cursed and made fun of him and mocked him. By the way, that's what they were. They were reprobates already. He cursed them in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, think about that. If people get offended because I use biblical words, Elisha cursed them in the name of the Lord in his stead. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. We need to get back to King James only language, ideologies, doctrines, teachings, and not allow the culture to condition us to think that these things are offensive. By the way, they are offensive, but they're offensive to the person who's already offended.
Yep.
Okay? Someone who's already cursed. That's why when you call a sodomite and a reprobate, they get offended at that.
Yeah.
They like it when you call them gay. We don't call them no one gay. They're sodomites.
Right.
They're reprobates. Galatians 1 verse 8 says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
He says, if anyone preaches a baptismal regeneration, Church of Christ, rejectors, let him be accursed.
Amen.
So Paul told me there, hey, that guy, let him be accursed. Okay, Caleb, you're damned. You're a damn reprobate, Caleb. I don't think that's what he meant by that. Okay, then he repeats it again in verse number 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Amen.
He said, just in case you didn't get it the first time, let me say it again. Let him be accursed.
Yeah.
And anyone who preaches a false gospel that teaches a works-based salvation, look, and someone said, you shouldn't criticize one another and insult one another, the body of Christ. He's not part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, we would say that one of the godliest men in the New Testament is who? Paul, right? Paul has taught us a lot over the years. And he's influenced a lot of people. God allowed him to write many books in the New Testament. He's a godly man. We teach his doctrine all the time. Now, look what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. The cloak that I left in Troas and Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And then he makes this side note right here. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, what is that called? That's called a curse. Mm-hmm. By the way, he wasn't cursing someone who cursed him. He obviously understood that Alexander was evil.
Yep.
And he said, okay, the Lord reward him according to his works. I hope he gets what he deserves.
Yeah.
And see, people flinch. Like when we say, you know, I hope Caleb dies. I want that guy to just die. I hope he dies. I hope he dies and goes quick into hell. You know, like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And people flinch at that. But look, you know who prayed that? Let them quick go down into hell, referring to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the meekest man that ever lived, Moses himself.
Yeah,
but God didn't agree with that. God answered his prayer.
Yeah.
He said, done. Opened up the earth and swallowed them whole. Down. I mean, talk about body and soul in hell. You know? But Moses said that. He was like, let them quick go down to hell. Quick means alive. So he didn't want Korah, Dathan, and Abiram to die and then go to hell. He says, let them go alive into hell. Talk about hatred. Oh, but that's the Old Testament. Paul right here. He's saying the same thing. The Lord reward him. And by the way, he's not talking about like reward, like thou, you know, thou good and faithful servant. You know. Yeah, you did Paul wrong, but here's 10 cities. Be thou over 10 cities, thou good and faithful servant. That's not what he's talking about. When the Bible talks about rewarding, it doesn't always mean in a positive way. It means he's going to punish him. Okay? So the coppersmith, it didn't mean much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So go to James chapter number 2. This is what people also pull out when you talk about this subject of cursing people. James chapter 2 and verse number 8. Let's start in verse number 9. It says, therewith we bless God, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So it's given us the principles of the tongue, right? And it says we shouldn't have cursings and blessings coming out of our mouth. But look at the context, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a what? Unruly evil, full of deadly poison. This is referring to ungodly cursings, okay? This is referring to evil cursings. Well, we shouldn't be involved in that. You know, when you revile your brethren and sisters in Christ, when you gossip about them, when you speak evil of them, that's wrong, okay? When you say, man, this brother's a blessing, and then you go and talk to Alex, it's like, man, I can't stand that guy. That guy's a jerk, you know? That's wrong. We should never do something like that. Because why? Because these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can't curse those whom God has not cursed, okay? As the Bible, as we saw already. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. We're just going to look at this briefly. So what are some curse words? What was I accused of, okay? I already went over one of them, but we're going to look at the scripture. Is this matter of an ass? And I already explained what ass means. It means a donkey, which means a beast. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, you can write it down so you have these references when someone comes to talk to you about it. You can say, well, this is what the Bible says. Verse 11 says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts. So what the modern word for brute means stupid. Which, by the way, is another word that Caleb got offended on because I call him a stupid beast. You go, look at these Baptists. You can't have a normal conversation. Yeah, I can have a normal conversation with you. I have heavenly conversations.
Amen.
Okay? And my heavenly conversation says that you're a stupid beast.
Amen.
A stupid reprobate.
Amen.
But the reason it calls them beasts is because they're reprobates, and so their moral compass has been removed.
Yep.
And they behave like an animal. They're behaving like a beast. Okay? You know, you run into people who do ungodly things. Sodomites, for example. Do very unclean, ungodly things. They're behaving like dogs, as the Bible actually rightfully calls them. That is considered a beast. Now go to Jude chapter, Jude verse 10. Jude verse 10 says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now, I don't think, and by the way, look, we have to be balanced, but I don't think you should go around just saying ass all the time just for the sake of, oh, I can say it. Yeah. So I should say it. Yeah, you can. But look, there's other things to talk about.
Amen.
Okay? And there's other adjectives you can use. There's other words. We're not always going to talk about reprobates. We're not always going to talk about false teachers. Now, we have to talk about it right now because in context of what we're referring to, it's necessary, it's needful to mention these things, right? But another word is the word damn. Now, when I said damn, I mean, he was like freaking out. He said, look what he called me, a D-reprobate. Now, I don't believe that any person should ever use the D word. And the D word that I'm referring to is divorce.
Amen.
Which, by the way, Caleb Robertson teaches that you can get divorced. So that's the only word that I don't like to use. In our house, we'll never use that word. That's a cuss word to us. All right? But the word damned is not. And you say, well, you know, what about the tenses, though? Because the word D-A-M-N is not in the Bible. But damned is and damnation. Well, here's the thing. In whatever tense it's in, it means the same thing. So if you say damned, damnation, or damn, guess what? It all means the same thing. And look, regardless of what tense it's in, because if we say that person's damned, that's obviously past tense, right? But if they're alive, it means they haven't received that damnation yet. But you know what the Bible says? Their damnation slumbereth, right? It doesn't slumber for long. In other words, they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So God looks at them as being someone who's already damned. Someone who's a reprobate can no longer be saved. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So it doesn't matter what tense you use it in, it still means the same thing.
Yep.
And that simply means that they're cursed, they're going to hell, they can no longer be saved. That's what damn means. Okay, look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, God is not willing that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yeah.
Now, is he contradicting himself when he says here that he's sending them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie? No. He's talking about people who have already rejected him. Therefore, they're already cursed. Verse 12, that they all might be damned. Ooh. So the reason he's sending them a strong delusion so they can believe a lie is so they just could be damned. I mean, New Testament, that's not even in Revelation. that's in 2 Thessalonians. You know, and anyway, if anybody ever says, you know, God doesn't hate anybody, you know, that's all Old Testament, take him to 2 Thessalonians. He's sending, I mean, that's like, that's bad. When you're sending them a strong delusion so they can believe a lie so that they can be damned. That's rough. But it's Bible. Who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Verse 31, our Lord speaking here says, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? And here's the answer, they can't. And here's the answer, they didn't. Okay. Go to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says here, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. So even Paul's saying the damnation of these people is just. It's right. It's correct. When someone says, you think they deserve hell? Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely. By the way, I deserve hell as well, but the difference is I didn't reject the gospel when it came to me. I got saved. Okay? We're not Calvinists here. I got saved, but they rejected Christ. Therefore, their damnation is just. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible reads here, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let's go back to Paul. I remember one time I was listening to my father-in-law preach. And he was ripping on something. And you ever ended a conversation like on a bad note? Yeah. It's just like there was no conclusion to that. Well, this is kind of how that sermon ended. He was ripping on something like worldliness, and he was like, "And it's stupid. Let's pray." And I was like, that was it. It was just like, man, that was a good note to end on right there. Well, this kind of reminds me of that. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha." By the way, that means cursed. So he says, let him be anathema maranatha. Verse 23, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. My love be with you all, brother. Be with you all in Christ Jesus, amen." That's a good way to end it, right? So after he says, if someone does not love the Lord, they're cursed. Amen. Grace be unto you guys, man. I love you guys. Amen. He's not contradicting himself. He's not in the flesh by saying this. It's the truth. So another one, obviously, is hell. And I'm not going to spend too much time on that. You know, they flip out when people say, well, go to hell then. You know? But that's where they're going. Yeah. When they reject Christ and they hate God, it's like, just go to hell then. And by the way, God uses hell sometimes not even in its context. Right? He uses it to explain even the tongue, right? Which the Bible says is set on fire of hell. Yep. Obviously, that's not in its context. Because people say, well, yeah, you could use this word, but you shouldn't use them in context. Well, God didn't use hell in its context. Yep. He's talking about the tongue. It doesn't mean like fire, like actual like fire and brimstone is in your mouth and stuff. No, it just means what you're saying is like hell. Okay? Now, go to Psalm 69. This is the last scripture we're going to look at. Talking about this matter of cursing people. Okay? And I think we've given enough examples, New Testament, Old Testament, but this is by far my favorite example to give. Because even with a person like Caleb Robertson, you know, I told him, hey, I pray that you die. I pray that you go to hell quick. And I pray that God destroys you. Like even when he was coming at me with some false doctrine, obviously I wasn't going to argue with him. I just said, you know what, Caleb, I'm praying for you, man. I'm praying for you. And what was that? I was like, I'm praying that you just, God just destroys you. You know, and by the way, that consoles me by saying that, okay? Because God will destroy him one day. He may not destroy him in my time, but you know what the Bible says? Everything's beautiful in his time, right? So he will destroy him one day, but I'm praying to that end. And here's the thing. We saw what Moses did with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We saw the words of Paul. We saw the Lord's words. Look at David's words, okay? Now remember this. What I said is I pray that guy goes to hell. So what am I saying? I pray that guy never gets saved, which he will never get saved. Look at Psalm 69, verse 22 says, this is David speaking of Israelites. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. You say, how do you know he's referring to Israelites? Because this passage is actually quoted in Romans chapter 11 in reference to Jews. Okay? So obviously we know that if he's talking to Israelites in Romans chapter 11, he's quoting Psalm 69. Psalm 69 is talking about the Jews. Verse 23, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. By the way, add iniquity unto their iniquity. That reminds me of Romans chapter 2, where it says they're treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Right. It's like more wrath upon the wrath. Yeah. He's saying there, add iniquity to their iniquity. Verse 28 is like the coup de grace right here, though. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous.
Amen.
Say, he didn't say, like, go to hell, though. That's what he means by that. You think he's just like, let them go to heaven, but make sure their name's not in the book of life, though, so they can't reference it when they're up there. You know? No, it means don't let them be saved.
Amen.
This is David, a man after God's own heart, the sweet, sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the man who, I mean, as far as I know, has the most prophecies of the coming Christ in the book of Psalms. Okay? He's a son. Everyone always references David in the Old Testament, obviously. He's one of the main characters of the Old Testament. He himself said, let them be blotted out. And by the way, he said it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So it's not like the Holy Ghost is like, David, I'm going to have to step out of this time right here. You can write verse 28, but I don't agree with that. The triune God, we don't agree with that, but go ahead and write it because you are David. No, he's like, write this.
Amen.
Pen this down.
Amen.
And by the way, if you don't agree with that, then you need to go get yourself a different Bible.
Amen.
And go read something else. Because this is what the King James Bible says.
Amen.
Okay? And if you call us, you shouldn't curse. I mean, this is the as cursing as you can get right here. Let their names be blotted out. You know? This is David. So, what's the sermon today? The sermon is this. We as Christians should not cuss.
Amen.
Using profane, vulgar language.
Right.
What we should do is learn how to curse. Using biblical language. And not just curse anyone. Curse those whom God has cursed.
Amen?
Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We're thankful that the words of the Lord are pure words. There's nothing defiled about them. There's nothing profane about the Word of God. And I'm thankful for, we're thankful for the men of God within the Bible who cursed people and gave us an example to go by. We live in such a watered down, sissy society where you can't say anything negative, even within churches. And yet the Bible is filled with a lot of negativity. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to be balanced, of course. But more than that, may we use the words of the Lord. May we speak as the oracles of God and honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.